Yo, Rakim, what's up? Yo, I'm doing the knowledge, E, man. I'm trying to get paid in
full.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but
all right, Warren, what is this right
my hand, so I dig it.
There you go. There you go, Warren. Put it down, Warren. Educate my man Bill Neal over there. That's paid in full.
Yeah, that's a legend.
Let's get some. If I don't brag or boast.
Hey, Bill, check this out,
tip
man.
My glass.
Look, this isn't and a quiet
storm. Let's get some soul music. From the Motown.
We're trying to keep this thing hype, Bill. God. We're not trying to all laid back and falling asleep and all that kind of stuff, man.
Look, I got one more concession.
People don't listen to us in the bedroom, Bill.
This is all you never know. Be careful now. You never know. But speaking of that, tell people when they can listen and where.
They can catch us, Bill, every Wednesday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on UrbanMediaToday.com, as well as Trav's show every Saturday. Saturday, 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., Urban Media Today talks sports. So there's two sports programs on the station.
Is it like a varsity and a JV thing? What's it like?
Not at all. As Trav says, we're all a big family. We're all a big team.
Trav and them are the varsity. You know? We're the JV. We're the up and coming.
I don't think so, Bill. Stop instigating, man. Just stop trying to start trouble. You know, Trav's been nice to you, man. I don't want to see him come over the
table.
He's
the varsity. Look, you know what I got to do? I got to make one more apology. The Pirates are not bums, Warren. I take it back. They're a struggling franchise. Attempting to rebuild. They're about to start from the ground up and rebuild this team, and in 3 years we'll be in the World Series.
Now,
let me finish. I had to offer that because I got to give away some tickets.
Well, let me say this.
Well, I got to give away some tickets.
You know,
well, before you say that,
hold on.
Can I give away the tickets?
Not yet. What I say on air is also what I say at home. And my wife kind of got mad at me when I mentioned this to her. I told her, I wish I could do a hostile takeover of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I really do, because we need new ownership. Yeah. I'm just totally frustrated. If there's a way I could sneak and make a move and acquire the Pittsburgh Pirates, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I appreciate you for that, but I got to protect my backside because they give us free tickets. And the free tickets we get are really for the kids. So Pirates, we love you, baby. Keep
and
on hanging there.
You said it's for
keep
the kids.
Keep on keeping
it's
on.
Child abuse.
Keep on doing what you're doing. But right now, for all you local listeners, you want some free tickets to the Pirate game coming up Saturday. Nope, Sunday, July 15th, 1 o'clock at PNC Park. All you got to do is call the office. Now, 2 weeks ago, I gave away 12 tickets. Four of you called in and got in on the ticket giveaway.
And you gave away tickets 2 weeks before that too, didn't you?
Yeah.
There's a reason
but
you're
people
getting
like
all these
to go.
Tickets.
You know what, Kev? Everything that you say
the
is
the Pirates can't sell them, so they're giving them to you.
Well, I'm doing my part to make the world a better place. That's all I'm saying. But look, so if you want these tickets, in spite of what Kev says, call Achieving Greatness Incorporated 412-628-4856. 412-628-4856. I got free Pirate tickets for you, almost as many as you want. All you got to do is call in, and we'll get them to you ASAP.
Now,
compliments of the Pittsburgh Pirates charities. We want to thank you.
On a serious note, and I think
that was serious.
I think I mentioned to you all coming in that I had an opportunity to listen to Sean Gibson of the Josh Gibson Foundation. He was on 93.7 The Fan. This past weekend, and I thought he mentioned that African American Heritage Weekend is coming up for the Pittsburgh Pirates as well.
I'm not sure, but if Sean said it, it's got to be true.
But I'm not sure if those tickets are for those games.
I think not. I would have been informed of that, but these tickets are a Sunday afternoon. But hey, how about this? This is no slouch game. This is against the Milwaukee Brewers. It's a good game, boys and girls. So if you haven't been to PNC Park, if you have kids, if you're involved with a youth organization, you want to get some kids to the game, give us a call. Get these free tickets, 412-628-4856, and be a part of it. I mean, everything that Kevin offers is true, and there's a lot of back and forth about who and what, and do they believe, and do they care, and are they just making money, and is this the right management? I tell you what, I am bothered by the fact that a championship town like Pittsburgh has this kind of representation, because across the board, we don't roll like that. Across the board, the championship spirit in Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania just doesn't roll like that. So, I don't know what we're going to do about it. How do you fix the problem, Kev? You lay the problems out there pretty steadily, but how do you fix it? What do?
You have to have a solid plan, and you have to own the plan. First of all, let me go back, because what we do, baseball season is so long, we're all frustrated at the beginning of the year, and then as the season progresses, we kind of bail the Pirates out and give them a pass to say, we need to tear this thing down and start all over. But we've been going through this cycle for the last 25 years. So there's a lot of talent on this team currently that is being mismanaged. And as I indicated before, we need better pitchers. Right now, we do not have a true ace. You have to, in baseball, you have to have a solid 1-3. And that's going to help your bullpen out as well. So where do you start? You have to get 3 very good pitchers. Then you have to go out and you have to get some power. So you have to have a strategy based on where you play number one. Baseball is a sport where you could position your team based on your field, because every field is different, the field dimensions and everything else. So you take a look at PNC Park, you have a short right field. Okay, so you want to bring someone in, a home run hitter, that could hit to that part of the field. We have not had a home run hitter probably since Barry Bonds, legitimately.
Alvarez.
Alvarez wasn't consistent enough. But he was not consistent enough. So, I mean, you have to be known for something. Even if you don't have power, you need to have a fast team where you can steal bases and, single and double runs in. And that's something that the Pirates never came up with, the strategy of what kind of team that is the core of what they're trying to do. So, do you want an offensive team that will hit for power, or do you want an offensive team that is a fast team that steals bases, that, hit runs in, nickel and dime, with dominant pitching and dominant defense? That has not been defined.
All right, well, do me a favor. Go work on that. Get back to us. Let us know how that's going.
Sounds like they should hire him.
Well,
what it sounds like is...
Like he played and everything.
Well, he's a baseball aficionado. Just ask him, he'll tell you. Wow. But what it sounds like is it's easier said than done. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what you need to do.
And a good example, and those tickets that Bill has is for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Brewers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Milwaukee is a similar market team than Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. And Milwaukee has had much more success than Pittsburgh has over the past 5 years, because they're doing things a lot better than what we are. Even if you go up the road and you take a look at Cleveland, again, a similar market team, and they're in first place. Now, they don't have a competition that the Pirates have, but still, over probably the last 20 years, for the most part, Cleveland has been very competitive.
Well, let's get on to something a little bit more important than them, and we'll finally get to this Wimbledon conversation. But I did want to get back to Chuck Cooper. And again, for our listeners out across the land, Chuck Cooper III is in the house with us, the third, and comes from great, great legacy and great history, his dad being the first black man to play professional basketball, and we just found out that his uncle was a world-class sprinter. But, Chuck, what I'd like you to do now, and be mindful that, again, this goes out across the country, let everybody know what the foundation does exactly, what's coming up next, what we can all participate in, how people can reach you if they want to support or be a part of it.
So we provide scholarships to African-American students. Right now, our scholarships are at the graduate level, ties them on my father's legacy of getting his master's after his MBA career. We also provide leadership development training and develop our students' professional networks to try to get them into some decent careers, hopefully here locally. You know, we live in one of those cities where we lose a lot of our young, talented African Americans to greener pastures, Atlanta, D.C., and those areas. So we're trying our best to build our community by keeping some of these young people here in Pittsburgh. We have our annual luncheon, which comes up in April every year, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple of our sponsors. Bill, you know the Pittsburgh Penguins have been tremendous supporters of the foundation and some of the other businesses who annually support us, our UPMC Health Plan, Highmark, the NBA has been tremendous, the Boston Celtics, Huntington, PNC Charitable Trust, Ken Ingersoll, Rooney Reed Smith, Huntington, I can just go on, University of Pittsburgh, Duquesne University, but we really get tremendous amount of support from our local corporations here. So right now our programming is our leadership program, which is for our graduates and undergraduate students, and collectively we take them out in teams and we do some college readiness seminars and presentations to some young high school and middle school age students. I challenged our students. I said, listen, when you were in high school, and many of them was just a few years ago, now what are some of the things you wish you'd have known to help you bridge from high school to college that have allowed you to be successful now? So we have some dynamite presentations led by we call them our beacons of light. You know, these are, again, some young people who are passionate about their education, they're passionate about developing their full leadership potential, and they're passionate about giving back and helping out, you know, those young brothers and sisters behind them. So
as was the case, you helped me with the young lady that was in broadcasting and came up from West Virginia.
She's in Philly now.
Okay, but give us a little bit of a snippet on her.
Yeah, Talia Kirkland, she's doing great. She was part of our scholarship class 4 years ago. And Tom Rooney was one of her mentors, and he helped get her into the broadcasting business. She was down in West Virginia, and, you know, West Virginia can be tough on brothers and sisters if you don't have any family down there. But you know, she got a little frustrated, just socially there wasn't a lot for, you know, to keep her happy. It was a nice opportunity, but she came back to Pittsburgh, settled in Duquesne, and ended up getting an opportunity in Philadelphia. So she now works for Fox in Philadelphia.
Fantastic.
And doing great things.
So I remember this. Very beautiful young lady, very talented, and she lit up the room when she got to the microphone. I mean, was just like a superstar. So I wanted to echo what you said about the Pens, and a lot of, and this needs to be said. I'm sure that there are a lot of black people in Pittsburgh. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't know that a lot of black people attend hockey games. I'm just assuming that a lot don't. I'm sure some do. That being said, it might be safe to assume that a lot of black folks don't recognize that the Penguins are supporters and sponsors of various things in this city, as they have been a sponsor of yours and your effort. I want to echo the fact that they were a co-sponsor in our effort to recognize and honor the late, great Connie Hawkins and the Pittsburgh Pipers. The Pittsburgh Penguins stepped up late and large. So I just want to shout it out there, and it needs to be shouted loud and clear. The Pittsburgh Penguins are not a foreign land. You know, they're right here in Pittsburgh, and they're people that care about what goes on in the community. And they employ various African-American people in prominent positions. So
they're a world-class championship organization on and off the ice. And, Travis Williams, Dave Soltes, and, of course, their owner, Mario Lemieux, have just been tremendous supporters.
Have you met Mario?
I have not got a chance to meet him, but I'm looking forward to one day.
Yeah, yeah. And before I get a catch up on Warren, just real quick, tell us a little bit about the Celtics and how they've been a part of your dad's legacy and the things that you've been building with the foundation. It's one thing to be the first black man to play professional basketball. It's another thing to go to the Boston Celtics and having been a part of that legacy. So,
well, you know, I just got reconnected with the Celtics. They honored my father back in 2016. Wore these were actually their shooting jerseys with my father's name on the back. But, you know, when you think about a world-class organization, another world-class, the Celtics not only drafted my father as the first African-American, and I don't know if you know how the story goes. It was back in Chicago. There wasn't ESPN, but they were in a smoke-filled room with all the owners smoking cigars. And Walter Brown, the owner of my Celtics, said, I take Charles Cooper out of Duquesne University. And one of the other owners said, you can't take him, he's colored, which was the word for us, one of the words for us, at least at that time. And Walter Brown's famous quote is, I take Charles Cooper out of Duquesne University, I don't give a damn if he's straight polka dot or plaid.
Right.
And but then the Celtics also started the first black starting five, named Bill Russell as the first black head coach. So they really have a legacy of support. And it really was set by the owner, Walter Brown, and the great Red Auerbach, who was my father's coach. My father, Red Auerbach, and Bob Cousy were all rookies with the Celtics in 1950. So they've been a great organization. They continue to support us. I can call on them almost any time, and, we definitely appreciate all the support that they give us.
Well, I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck Cooper, that is sitting here with us now, bestowed upon us a portrait, a photo. And it is, as a matter of fact, I'm still shocked that you gave it to me, because if I was me, I wouldn't have gave it to you. Because this is.
And I believe that, too. Listen,
Kev, there's a picture. Now, you got it. What's this, 1950 what?
It's 50-something.
1950-something. It's crystal clear. And it's his dad jumping over four other people. And one of the people was another.
Earl Lloyd. He was the first to play. My father was the first to get drafted. Earl Lloyd was the first to play due to scheduling.
All right. Now, say that again, because a lot of people are confused about that.
Yeah. So, my dad, April 25th, 1950, was drafted, we just talked about, by the Boston Celtics. Earl Lloyd was drafted. My dad was drafted with the 13th overall pick. The 13th overall pick of the 1950 draft.
That's bold. That's bold.
Earl Lloyd was drafted in the 9th round out of West Virginia State, where my dad played a half a semester. And then Nat Sweetwater Clifton, his contract was purchased by the Harlem Globetrotters. He actually was the first one to sign his contract. So there's three guys that share the legacy of first. There was actually one guy, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out Harold Hunter. He actually signed the first contract, but he never made it to the league. So it was my father, Earl Lloyd, and Nat Sweetwater Clifton, one of the first three African Americans in the NBA.
That's something. And this picture, he's dunking over all these people, and it looks
Earl Lloyd was one of them.
Yeah, and it looks like, Warren, if you were at my house, you seen the portrait, didn't you? The photo. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Mr. Cooper's like 9 feet tall, and all these other guys are like 6 feet tall. It's an unbelievable photo.
That's probably I can tell you this. That's the earliest picture that I've ever seen of an African American dunking in the NBA. So you have that in your game room.
And he's dunking and looking down at him like, sorry about this, fellas. Yeah. So I mean, what an honor to have you here. What an honor to have known your dad. And I wanted to get you to do this. Shout out to your daughter. You said she was
my daughter, Charlize
anxious
Cooper.
About being here, but give her a shout out.
Charlie Cooper, hey, I wish you could be here. If I wasn't going to go say late, I would have had her here. But Bill, I will come back to that picture and say, I've never given that to anyone else, and it came to you highly deserving. I mean, what you meant to Pittsburgh and the Connie Hawkins League and the Champions Associations and how many lives you touched. You're certainly very – and, of course, my dad. You worked with my dad personally on some things. You're very well deserving of that historical picture.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. Believe me. And it's in my game room. It's on my wall, man. It's look, that's just – now people come in. I say, look at this. And then I was telling some females, and she's like, I said, pay attention here. Look at the picture. She didn't understand the importance of it. That's why she ain't coming back. Listen, we got more. You don't know her, Keek. You don't know her. She knows who she is, though, and she knows she ain't coming back. All right, Kev, I want to talk to Warren a minute, but let's do the Wimbledon thing first, man, because that's important stuff. Serena Williams. Now, Venus is out. Serena's still in. And what was her ranking going in?
She was, well, they finally gave her a good ranking, which is 25.
But what was it when it was outlandish?
It was somewhere around 343, somewhere in that
neighborhood. Can anybody imagine that Serena Williams was ranked that because she had a baby?
Right. And that's something we talked about the last program. So I'm happy to see that they're finally starting to recognize that it was wrong to actually just take away someone's ranking. So severely. So now we're in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon, and this is actually the fourth tournament back for Serena. And she's a bad girl. I mean, she's a bad girl overall, but more especially on grass. And she defeated Camilla Georgi 3-6, 6-3, 6-4 on Tuesday. And I actually had a chance to watch that match. And I was a little concerned.
She lost her first
set. For the first set. Yeah. But Serena came back strong, and actually her record was 38-35 after losing the first set. She's now 39-35, of course. So Camilla Georgi is 26 years old, and Serena is 36, Bill, in tennis. And Serena still whooped her butt. Well, okay, so that says a whole lot.
I think she's got a little chip on her shoulder, a little bit.
So Serena continues to dominate, and as I indicated, I did watch the whole match, and I do have some concern with Serena. Of course, I'm rooting for her, but she is not at the top level from an in-shape standpoint that she needs to be, and she even indicated that at the end of her match that she still has a long way to go. So I'm not sure if that will catch up with her doing Wimbledon or not.
Well, that works well so that if she loses, she can go back to that point. And if she wins under those circumstances, it makes her look even greater. So that's a smart ploy.
Yeah, so we'll see. And she'll be facing Julia Georges in the semifinals this Thursday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's hard to believe Serena Williams is 36.
36 years old.
Warren, that must make you 60. What old are you, 60-something? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, all the great things you've known about Chuck. Did you know Warren could model? You know Warren can hoop.
Yeah.
You know he's a great guy. Work ethic.
Yep, yep.
He can model.
Okay.
He can model.
He looks good in the suit, so I've seen him suited up, G'd up a little bit.
We
so.
Just had our fashion show this past weekend out at the Racquet Club in Monroeville. It was all that. The Sensation Models came out of hiding, put on a great show with Roland Ford's line dancing crew. And Roland Ford, I mean, Warren Wilson and Ernie Bay and Kevin Bell held it down for the fellas. And, I mean, the ladies got restless when Warren hit the floor.
Uh-oh, Warren.
Man, it was all that in a bag of chips. It was a great show, great time. And Warren impressed. I'm not talking about just got through it. Warren modeled.
He's trying to get you back next year, Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Neal, for the compliment. I didn't think I did that well, but
you did all right.
Yeah, Kevin Bell in the house too.
Kevin Bell was there. Yeah, we good. But back, Ernie back turned to it out.
Serena. Yeah, Ernie
played
yeah.
the king yeah. of we did a scene from Black Panther. So Ernie played the king. Okay. He had a big, yeah. one of his handcrafted shafts, nice. And he came in Africa. All the models had on African gear. It was great.
It was nice.
I thought we were done with Serena.
No. I still have a little bit
done.
More.
Well, let's be done
just,
with it.
Just to close out. You know, Serena's is looking. What did you say?
I was just saying to Warren, pay attention when Kevin's talking.
Serena looks to improve on her career stats. So we all know she has 23 majors. 7-time winner of Wimbledon, and 72 overall titles. And believe this, Bill, check this out. She actually held the number one ranking for 319 straight weeks. Wow. Now, when you compare that to Tiger Woods in golf, he held the number one ranked position for 281 straight weeks. Mm. That's a big difference. Yeah, that lets huge. You know how dominant Serena Williams is, and now she's 36 years old and still kicking butt. So, you know, I just wanted to point that out on the women's side. And then on the men's side, you know, we have two powerhouses coming up. It seems like they're on track. Number one ranked Roger Federer, who has 20 majors, and he'll probably end up meeting number two rank, Rafael Nadal, 17-time major winner. So that's something to look forward to.
It is. And if you're not a tennis fan, those guys put on a great show whenever they play each other. It's always like some amazing stuff that nobody ever saw a human being do before. So that's worth the watch to be sure. But let
they still need to win two more matches before they get there. Yeah. But it looks like they're on track to meet.
Yeah, good to hear. Hey Warren, just update the folks, man. Two questions for you. Just a little update on what you're doing these days. People remember you as the great basketball player out of Cal State and played some pro ball overseas and got your feet wet here and there. And I know you and I talk on occasion. You seem to think that if now was your time, you could be in the NBA. And I don't fault you for feeling that way. I've seen you play. I agree the possibility was there. But how do you feel when you look at the game now and realize that you're 40 and you're old and your game is done and you have to watch these young pups on TV?
Oh, man, we don't have enough time, sir. We don't have enough time. But, before we go any further, I want to just, you know, thank all you guys for having me here to be in a room with such legends. And, I mean, it's an honor, you know, and to be your friends as well. You know, talk about putting people on the spot. I like how you got Mr. Cooper to be our guest speaker at the camp today.
Always respected.
You know, but I always emulate Mr. Neil, and I'm going to do the same thing. I mean, how old were you when you started the Chuck Cooper Foundation? And the reason why I asked you that is because I want to get my master's, so we have to talk about that off the air.
Okay. Yeah. It was 2000, and I was what? I guess I was 47.
Okay.
When I started the foundation.
Right.
So how old are you now, Chuck?
56. Now you're checking my math.
I didn't want to trust my math. That's why I am. But you know what, man? It seems like yesterday we were up East Hills.
I know.
And I could, you know, I always knew when Chuck had a game. You see him walk up the side. You know, he had a game, so it just seems like yesterday, man. And you know,
Mike Booker, never forget Cooper, the voice Luke calling me out,
the voice of the voice of the Connie Hawkins League. Well, you guys were a part of it, and I always tell people this: nobody came to see me play; they came to see you guys play, and you guys made me look good. So I appreciate that. We got one more break left in this shift, and we're going to come back and wrap it all up. We got a few more things to mention to you, and we're going to do that very shortly. I can't wait to hear what music is going to play next.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.